We want to have a bit of fun right now, and the truth is, this lockdown, there are ways of handling this situation. It's tough for everybody and everyone's hurting, and you try to look for ways of looking after your own mental health, whether that's getting out for your hour of exercise a day, having a break from the kids, or maybe just distracting yourself from, I don't know, anything. So there's TV to watch. Another outlet that Fev and I've stumbled into, well, I think Fev's always been into this, but I have joined him. So is online entertainment in the form of video games or apps. Now,
Fev, by the way, the one you're playing now, you shouldn't be playing. Put that down.
Yeah, I know.
This is the one that Boxy plays.
So the backstory is, I've stumbled upon an app called Cooking Fever, which Trixie got me into, and now Trixie and I are both into it. And you know, the updates on that, if you miss them, are, for one, I said we won't be spending any actual real money. Yes. And then I've gotten so hooked, I'm now actually spending money on deep fryers and nacho machines and an extra fry pan so I can make more burgers for my customers. Because that's the premise of the game. You are cooking food for people and you get money. The other thing I realised was it has a casino, which I didn't know until I said to Trixie, how come you've got three more restaurants than me? And she said, because I keep going to the casino.
Well,
I didn't know there was a casino in that game, and now Trixie's got me hooked again. So thank you.
Look what you've done, Trixie.
And that's a shame. And anyway, Feb, the other one you're on is Call of Duty, COD. And that's ruling a lot of your life, it's fair to say, at the moment.
It is. And the All Stupid Games ruling as well, because I do get on it. And now that I know there's a casino in there, I've now got another 6 or 7 games that I had to download, because if you play some of these games that you download, you get 5,000 coins. So I've been doing that and then going straight back to the casino. So thanks for that, Boxy. Now I've got about 500 games on my phone and I've got no storage. But yes, there was a download yesterday on COD. My brother told me it was 4 o'clock in the morning, yesterday morning, so I got up, waited 45 minutes, no download, doesn't take 8 hours, mate. It happened at 4 o'clock, because a lot of our listeners, so thank you to the guys who sent me a message when we did this rave yesterday. It automatically pre-downloads, so when you log on, it's there. So I was back, and it's COD 5, and yeah, I got let in last night because all Jason's mates were playing footy, so I got to play. They let me in, and he said, "You're still shit." But he was excited. It's an amazing game, Boxy. But my thumbs, I tell you what, I used to play games of footy for 2 hours where I got battered and bruised and smacked from behind and concussed. Saw everything. I've never ever had sore thumbs like I do now.
Look at them. They look callous. They're red.
Oh, mate. I can't even touch my screen properly. COD.
Wow.
It's dangerous.
Can I ask both of you, just quickly,
can I claim?
But I'm trying to work out how this helps either of you, right? So at this time of already heightened emotions and pressures on all of us during a pandemic, Fief, like just before that song finished, what was happening on your cooking game? You were actually quite stressed. What was going on? And how does this help? How does this help anyone?
One of the customers came in and wanted 3 serves of nachos, but he knows I've only got 1 nacho machine. So that's the app being annoying, because they know that I need to buy another nacho machine, and I feel the pressure to do that now.
Why put yourself in? Take it off. Delete it.
The best thing we're just talking about something off air about a certain show, and she goes, "Yeah, I'm surprised that show. Oh, I'm out of burgers."
I don't know if anyone else is playing these. Is anyone else playing these games to try and sort of ease the stress or the boredom of the situation? 13, 10, 60. Surely no one else is playing this ridiculous game that's stressing you out, where you're cooking nachos for people.
Well, even if you're not playing Cooking Fever, what are you playing? Yeah. Maybe share with here's actually, because we're talking about frivolous games that mean nothing, I did stumble upon, I put on my Instagram last night, a great app that you can play games on, but with your grandparents. It's an app called Together, and it means that you can, because we're in ISO, you can find, like Trixie yesterday was on with Mum and Dad for like an hour at a time, playing Battleship, Memory, Noughts and Crosses. Yeah, so you've got your grandparent on screen and you're playing games with them. That's actually a really good one.
Love
so that's
that
called
one.
Together.
That's good. It's good for your family because Trixie's advanced and probably up to Pearls and Al's standard. Mate, yeah, if and my kids played with Ange and Kazza, well, it'd be a nightmare.
Well, also, while Trixie's doing that with Dad and Pearl, I can pay Cooking Fever, so it works for everyone.
101.9 The Fox.
I'm a bit worried about this. In some ways, I think we might be encouraging a couple of people on this show who seem to have a bit of a problem at the moment, and that would be Fee and Fev. What's going on? I mean, what are you doing too much of right now, guys?
Well, right now the guy's fixing my hot chocolate machine, so I'm having to wait. But I'm in my Indian restaurant at the moment, and I tell you what, the naan bread's taking a while.
It's a game called Cooking Fever, and they are both addicted to it. It's like an app game you can put on your phone, right?
What's so ridiculous about it is
Android.
It's so stressful. You are running a cafe and people are demanding food or they storm off. So you actually sit there stressing out. Surely it's wrong for times like this when you need to. We should be doing meditation apps, not these sort of stressful video games.
Oh, how boring though. Meditation app.
Brad's in Altona Meadows. Hi, Brad.
How are we going, guys?
Yeah, Brad. In all honesty, I need to get off this. I need to. It's too addictive in this sort of ISO mode. What are you playing?
Well, I got the internet put on in March at my house to play Grand Theft Auto Online again, and now I'm buying cars that I'm doing up, going to car meets, and doing drag races, doing burnout.
Wow.
Get your paint jobs done, and you're putting a lot of like effort into it because you're going to do heists to get the money to buy the cars, and oh my god,
and real money, Brad, not the pretend money.
Well, yes, you can buy like so $100 gets you $1 million in Grand Theft Auto money, but. Oh my god! It gets out of
control. Racing for pink slips and all that sort of stuff.
Oh no, you just do normal races. If you want to be a bit of an ass, you can go blow up their cars. But,
I'm glad you're not doing the other stuff because you can literally walk on someone on the street, boxing, and just shoot them.
Well, okay. We don't celebrate that.
That's within the game.
Not a good game. Thank you, Brad. I mean, he's spending real money to do up pretend cars. What is going on?
It's when it creeps into the real money, and this is where they get you. Because when I downloaded Cooking Fever a week ago, I was just using the fake money, and then I got to a point where I just went, "Yeah, okay, I'll just do the $1.99," and then I went up to the $7.99, and then when I bought myself $14.99 worth of diamonds the other day, I got 125 diamonds.
Stop.
But the worst thing is, just so you know, I share the game on my iPad and Trixie's iPad. So I bought these 125 diamonds. I went, yes, I'm going to go and buy the seafood restaurant and the bakery. Anyway, I went back to my iPad. I had no diamonds left. Trixie's gone and spent them. I don't know what she spent them on.
100%. You never leave that stuff. Hey, do you want to know what else is on the Grand Theft Auto?
Not really, if it's violent,
okay.
Okay.
Millie in Truganina. Hey, Millie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Millie, now you're across Cooking Fever, I believe.
I definitely am. I've got Cooking Fever and I've got a couple of stores. I've got the bakery and I also have the seafood restaurant. Okay. That's a stressful one because it burns really quickly.
Yeah, the lobsters. I've started that one. That's pretty easy.
Jeez. Now, we heard you've got maybe even, and this is dangerous because be careful because they're potential addicts, but you might have another game for the guys to play.
I have to. And when I get stuck on the Cooking Fever one, I go to the food truck chef. And that's a similar thing, but it's,
bad line, but
yeah, I am not going to down. I am done. I know what I mean. So the next couple of days, I'm deleting Cooking Fever.
All right.
I don't want to do anything on an app. I'm not downloading any apps
ever
again.
You've invested money, real money.
I haven't played Candy Crush for a year, and that took. I was up to level 2,000. I am like an addict, and I think this is no Fev, no
well,
more.
Well, I'm going to do Food Truck Chef today, and I'm going to tell you tomorrow morning how good it is. And then, you being you, will play it, and then you'll be addicted.
It's the Fox, Fee, Fev and Byron.
You're listening to highlights of Fifi, Fev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. To hear the whole show, subscribe to the Daily Catch Up podcast, exclusive to the Fox app.
Now, in Melbourne, this is so tough for us. And the one thing that we got to keep a hold of is our senses, look after our mental health. And it's quite difficult when the news comes out every day and we get figures thrown at us and we're trying to comprehend them. That's why it's really important to go to people who know what they're talking about. Yeah. And the person we keep going to is Dr. Norman Swan. You can hear the CoronaCast podcast hosted by Norman Swan. For more information, abc.net.au/CoronaCast. But he joins us again. Norman, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Welcome.
Now, one of the big things I think we've woken up to this morning, Norman, which you would have seen, is the modelling that that some reports have come out showing that we may be getting high cases, could be going up out of the 700s into the 800s or thousands over the next week or so. And I guess panic, even yesterday, there was such panic again that the cases were still in the high 700s. But what is the best way for us to interpret this information, and what does that modelling mean?
So what, it's just modelling, it doesn't necessarily predict the future, and so you've got to just sit with it as a thought. So here's what we've said together over the last few weeks, is that what happened, the numbers you saw yesterday are what happened a week or 10 days before that. So if we've had a lot of people in Victoria where we've not known where they've got the virus, and those people from whom they've got the virus where we don't know who they are, have continued to spread it as is likely, then there is, a reservoir of people spreading the virus that's going to flow through the system beyond the lockdown today. So what the effect of the lockdown today will start to be seen probably next week, but it could be overwhelmed by this reservoir of infections which are occurring and flowing through the system. So it's delayed action. The best way to think about it is delayed action, and not to get too despondent if we've got a few days, I mean, terrible though it would be, of more cases than we've seen. However, so that's on one side, is that you could see large numbers, but the modelling doesn't, well, unless they know something, I mean, they obviously do know a lot that's not being published, but remember that the people who are if you what call undocumented cases, where you don't know who they are, where they are, you actually don't know the full size of that. If it's massive, then there will be increases. But if it's smallish, and people already this week, you lot have seen this week, the streets of Melbourne have been much quieter this week. Ahead of today's lockdown, everything's got much quieter. People have been behaving differently. You've had masks kicking in. You could actually start to see the beginning of a turnaround early next week, because by isolating people, you're stopping them, enforcing this prevention of infection spread.
So it's like you're saying, in 10 to say, just say 15 to 20 days, we should be under 100 if it's backdated, because everyone's in lockdown now.
That's right. You should, 100, you should certainly see the curve coming down, but it could come down precipitously, because no, if everybody's behaving themselves and staying where they are and not moving around, I mean, these are really strict restrictions, and people are still coming forward for testing. So for any new outbreaks, they're being stood upon straight away. Yeah, you will still, it could come down very, very quickly. And if you see large numbers coming through, if you like, you'll put a complete brake on that, even though they're flowing through the system, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does, Norman. And we know that this is 6 weeks of the stage 4 lockdown. What would we need to see once we come out of stage 4 to not then just stay in stage 3? Like, what do we need to see to come out of lockdown?
I think that's a question Victorians need to ask each other as well as politicians. If New Zealand set a goal that there was going to be zero spread, and they held it at zero spread for about 17 days before they lifted their significant restrictions. They were progressively lifting them a little bit before that. And I think, I don't know, what do you think? I mean, last week when we were talking, you were saying zero spread. And I think that's what a lot of Victorians want. And you've got to hold it at zero spread for at least 2 weeks to be sure you've got it under better control. Now, that is possible at 6 weeks, that is possible, even coming off the huge mountain of cases we've got now.
I'm glad you said that.
Well, because that's the biggest fear, Norman, yeah. I think, is if we come out too early and we get it back into, you know, oh, we've got 70 cases a day and we suddenly, oh, we'll all go back out again. And then I just, the idea of coming back into this lockdown again, it just seems unthinkable. So, yeah, we've all got to think about how what result we want at the end of these 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I think we've got to get away from, and the only reason I say this is political. We've got to get away from this talk about elimination versus suppression, because it's just become a political football, because the national cabinets agree there's going to be no elimination. Well, okay, they can agree on that. But in fact, what Australians want is zero spread. That's what everybody wants. And
well,
stop
I used to play football, Doc.
Football.
I just want to see him start kicking some goals, mate. That's all I want to see.
Yeah. Well, the problem with kicking a goal is you kick the ball and it takes 2 weeks to get to the posts.
Yes, it's a delayed.
Mate, I used to kick it that far sometimes.
Okay. Somehow Feb, in the middle of a chat about a pandemic, has still bragged about his goal-kicking prowess.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Don't let now, guys, don't let Dr. Norman Swan leave before we at least brag about his son. Please,
can
we have to briefly.
Your son, Jonathan Swan, wowed the world yesterday. Norman, you must be so proud. He interviewed Donald Trump. We played back his interview here on our radio show. And, gee, you must be a very proud father.
I am. He's done well.
He's done well.
Gee,
he's
a humble father too. Because imagine that was Fev's child interviewing Donald Trump. It'd be a five-hour special.
Mate, my child would be smarter than Donald Trump, but imagine me interviewing Donald Trump. Two blokes that are stupid. I'm still trying to get past what precipitatively means that Dr. Swan said.
Fair enough.
Does that mean quickly?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah,
it does.
Yeah,
there we go. Cool. So obviously stay across everything that Dr. Norman Swan is doing is on the highly popular CoronaCast podcast, which I imagine the numbers amongst Melbourne people would be higher than anywhere else right now, because it's obviously so at front of mind for us. abc.net.au/CoronaCast. Thank you for your time, Dr. Swan. We appreciate it.
It's always fun. See ya.
Thanks.
101.9 The Fox.
Had another drama last night with Toby, Fiona.
What happened?
Now, Alex had had a shower with Tobes. She's in the shower again. And Alex has got out and got dressed. And I said, I'll jump in as well because I need to have a shower. I always have a shower before I go to bed.
Yeah.
And because Tobes had a nap during the day. She hasn't been napping during the day, so she's going to be up for ages. So we just put her in the shower. And I was out talking to Al and I was getting unchanged. And I walk into the shower. And so in our shower, we've got our sink. There's a toilet, and then there's the shower next to the toilet, but with a big white, you know, the big glass door that goes up. And anyway, and
fairly standard. Fairly standard.
Yeah, just standard.
Like
I'm just trying to explain.
What you've explained there is a bathroom.
Yeah, so Toby's. No, but there's a point to this.
Okay,
So in that 1 minute that I was getting changed, Toby's walked out of the shower, grabbed the toilet brush that you clean the toilet with, thought it was a toothbrush.
No!
And as I walked in, I'm like, she's got the toilet stick, the brush! I'm like, no! And she just dropped it. I'm like, Dick, honey, that's what you clean poo-poo up
What's
with.
What's going on?
It's not a toothbrush!
Guys, people who weren't listening to the show last week, what did she brush her gums with last week?
Is she a shaver?
Stop!
No!
We cleaned everything out of the shower. There's nothing left, but she's gone and found the toilet brush. Oh, that's where Daddy cleans his poo-poo on the toilet.
Oh, that's disgusting.
You're listening to edited highlights of Fifi, Bev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. To hear the whole show, subscribe to the Daily Catch-Up podcast exclusive to the Fox app.
Hey, Boxy, in the hub at the moment, it's hard for the AFL players. It's hard for their parents. And back in my day when I got told I was playing my first game, I think I was watching the footy show because that was the only sort of outlet that we had. I had to watch at 9:30 to see which if my name was named on the ground or on the bench to see whether I was either playing or dropped. But now the AFL clubs have gone to the next level, and what they've done is they're starting to film their players ringing their mums. And it's so good because the mums don't know what's happening. And
so these are young players who've never played before?
These are young players that have never played. So they're debuting. They're playing their first game. And young Lockie Hoser, I think that's how you say his name, he debuted last night. But this was the night before he rang his mum. He kicked two goals yesterday, so his mum would have been up about. But this is him ringing his mum, Boxy.
Yeah. Oh, I just rang in to let you know I'm playing this week.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, you're on camera, so don't swear. You're on camera, so don't square.
No. Oh, no, I just said I was watching the Kardashians.
Yeah, I know, it's horrible.
And in the call last night, Boxy, I think it might have been Mark Howard or Dwayne Russell or Dwayne, one of the guys said, well, he's kicked two goals from two kicks, so I think it's going to be time that Kim's going to start watching you and your mum won't be watching the Kardashians. It was pretty funny. that got a mention in the call. But this takes a cake, Boxy.
But I loved too that that he had to say don't swear. He was absolutely worried his mum was going to swear. Yeah. Please don't swear. Please don't swear.
Mum, don't swear.
That's what I was about to say, Boxy, because there's been a few parents that have swore, and you can see a little insight to some of the players' mums and how stressed they get. And Fiona Rusko, I think is how you pronounce her name, she takes a cake. Her young boy, Trey, is playing tonight for Collingwood, and this is what Fiona had to say.
Oh, I said it.
What?
You decided to ring, did you?
I just got something to tell you.
What, love? What have you done? What do you want?
I'm playing my first game tomorrow.
Oh, off. Are you joking?
Yeah, no, I am.
Oh, my God, Trey, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Oh, are you stirring me up?
No, I'm not. I'm serious. Look, I got my wire. Boys
are... Oh, no. Oh, hello. Oh, oh, thanks for the heads up. Oh, Trey, that is so good. I can't believe it.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Did the whole team fall over or something, did they?
And the players lost it.
She's brilliant. She should be a guest on our show.
Oh, they said they should have her for special comments. She said did all the players fall over?
The Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
We've really enjoyed the season of Bachelor in Paradise, and back for the second time in 2 years, one of my favourite members of the Batch team.
Me too.
Brittany Weldon, and she joins us now. Hi, Brittany.
Good morning. How's everyone?
We're great, well, Brittany. Here's the thing, Brittany. You are the most likeable, nicest person in that franchise. You don't have a bad bone in your body, and you cop a lot. So well done on getting through another series.
Oh, thank you so much. It was such a good experience this time round.
Now, Brittany, I want to talk about that. Let's start with, now we know you ended up with Jackson, but let's go back to Jamie, because Jamie was, we know that, you know, obviously you've got a friendship. How hard was that week or two where you weren't sure whether he was into you or not into you? And now that you've watched it back, is it quite clear that he wasn't into you?
So at the time when you're there, you're like, oh, is this just trying to be like, you know, he doesn't know how to say he does like me, so he's putting friendship at the end because he's saying, oh, I don't want to wake up, we're here without you. So that's a little bit confusing. But watching it back now, I'm like, God, I was just flogging on nothing.
Oh, you poor thing.
Hey, Britt, did Jamie really just want to give Tim a rose and no one else?
Oh, absolutely. If he had his chance, no. Nah.
That was weird, wasn't it? His obsession with Tim was a bit bizarre.
I know, but at least I made the top two, so that's good with like Tim and myself, obviously, you're number one.
And Britt, you know what I felt with you, Brittany, was that a lot of girls have lived through it. I've been through that where you just, the guy needs, that's the equivalent on the outside world of a guy going, yeah, let's catch up again. Let's go out on a date. And you going, well, he's clearly into me. Then he cancels, then he reschedules and you go, are you into me or not? So, you know, what I think a lot of us watching went, we've been where you've been. And then things went a bit pear-shaped with some of the girls like Cass. Now that was really disappointing when you two were both wanting Jackson, and a lot of her pieces to camera I didn't think were particularly nice, and I thought they were quite catty and it wasn't very fair and nice to you. Was that hard to watch?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I knew that maybe she didn't like me because we were going for the same guy, but watching back, I didn't realise how nasty she actually was. So that was hard to watch. But, you know, I'm really happy that I was actually in a love triangle, because when Jackson did choose me, it's because he liked me, not just because he was rose shopping. So that was like, you know...
Cool. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well done, Britt. Hey, any thoughts? Because I obviously the Bachelor and the Bachelorette are coming on now. Would you ever consider being the Bachelorette? I think you'd be amazing at it.
Oh, thank you. Yes, so many people have actually asked me if I would, and of course, who would say no to so many options?
Oh, how good is Brittany? We love her. And well, is the obvious thing to say? You guys probably know this because you're across the tabloids. Are we allowed to ask if is how that's all going?
No, it's gone back. Yeah, no, so you and Jackson separated last night, Brittany. But you know what? Like you just said, you got him in that battle with Cass, which I love. But obviously, there were just is that how you were feeling? There wasn't a future. How are things now?
Yeah, so Jackson and I are really good friends. We did try to make it work, but being in different states, it's really quite hard. And then we both work and then just fizzled out. But I have nothing bad to say about him. He's like a true gentleman.
Nice. What about, can we ask you about another controversial character? We had Kira on the show yesterday and she was claiming the bad edit. But is Kira a friend, Brittany? Did we get the bad edit from her, or is there another side that we don't see?
See, I don't know how people say, like, they get a bad edit, because I myself am so, everything that came out on camera is what I did, so I don't know how people can claim that, but I had a great experience, so I can't really comment on how other people had with their experience.
I think that's to hear.
That is, yes. Well said, Brittany. Very well said.
Should be in politics.
About anyone.
Good on you, Brittany.
No, you don't. That's what's lovely about you.
Bachelor in Paradise.
Nothing better, Boxy, when you're sitting there and you're watching Bachelor in Paradise, and then they get the camera and they go over to Britt. She's got a glass of champagne in her hand and laughing. It just makes you feel good.
Yeah. You're fun. Yeah. We'd take you on holiday with us, Britt.
100%.
Oh, yes, 100%.
There we go. Maybe
I'm
Osher.
Glad you said that. You started off by not wanting to say that.
A bit awkward. Maybe Osher could be involved. Anyway, good on you, Brittany. Bachelor in Paradise finale. Sunday night, 7:30 on 10.
1019 The Fox.